The scripture reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be retrobates.
Morning. It is good to be home. As Ashley told me a few moments ago, she said Dorothy was right. I kind of looked at her funny. I didn't know what she was talking about. She said, there's no place like home. It's good to be back. We had a good trip to Tennessee. Of course, you know as well as I do, some of you do anyway, how long that drive is. And so we just could not wait to be back home and to be able to sleep in our own bed once again and to be back here with you this morning. Today is New Year's Day. As we're all aware, I'm sure, today is the start of 2012. And hopefully none of us are necessarily believers in the Mayan calendar, as this will be our last year upon earth if we do believe in that calendar. So if it is, let's make the best of it. But 2012, January 1. You know, many times as we look at the new year, we begin to make resolutions. And so we're going to talk about some resolutions today. Maybe more so spiritually than anything else. Or I know more so spiritually than anything else what we're going to be talking about today. But friends, as we stand here today, as we sit here and we begin to study God's Word as we do, friends, let me point this out as well. I cannot think of a better place to be to bring in the new year than right here with you this morning. Singing praises to our God and to remember our Lord and Savior and His death upon the cross and to study a portion of His Word. There's not a better place to be than right here. As Bradley read for us a moment ago in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, if we're going to make some resolutions, whether it be on the physical side of things or whether the spiritual side of things, friends, it takes self-examination. There's no doubt in my mind that there are several within the audience or here this morning that made a New Year's resolution to lose a little bit of weight, as we all probably packed on 10 to 15 pounds during the holiday season. I know I ate a lot of food. But that takes self-examination. That takes getting on the scale, setting a goal, and deciding I'm going to lose this much weight by such and such time. I'm going to make that my New Year's resolution. It may be something else. It may be that we want to quit a habit maybe that we've had for years. We want to get rid of that. And so we've made a New Year's resolution, I'm going to quit this. Maybe that I've made a New Year's resolution that I'm going to do something maybe that I've never done before. But all of those things take self-examination. Notice again 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. One of my favorite passages in Scripture. It reminds me of something. Examine yourselves, Paul says. James tells us that we are to look into the perfect law of liberty. We are to look into the gospel, the mirror of the gospel, to see how our lives stack up. And so it takes self-examination. Examine yourselves. Why, Paul? Whether ye be in the faith. Notice he doesn't say here whether you have faith. He says, whether you be in the faith. Friends, he's talking about the gospel of Christ. Whether we obey that system of faith that has been once delivered unto us, Jude in verse 3. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop upon the examination. He says, prove your own selves. Test yourselves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? If Jesus Christ is not in me, then friends, Paul says I'm a reprobate. Christ must be in me. But friends, we're going to examine ourselves. We need to know by what to judge ourselves, don't we? There's got to be a standard. And we must judge by the correct standard. What is that standard? Well, we've got to go to the Word. The standard is the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Notice with me John 12 and verse 48. Jesus speaking says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The gospel, friends, is the word that Jesus has spoken. He told his apostles that he would send to them a comforter, that they were not to take thought of what they would say or do, but that the Holy Spirit would give it to them. And friends, we have that revealed to us in God's word. He told them in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 and 19, or 19 and 20 rather, that they were to go and preach the gospel. Verse 20, they were to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. He delegated to them his authority, thus they preached his word. And so he is spoken to us today by his word. Further, we see in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, John seeing these things, he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Friends, they were judged according to a standard. In Romans 2 and verse 16, we read, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Friends, we're going to be judged according to the standard. And so when we start talking about spiritual resolutions, we need to do some self-examination. We must realize, friends, where we have fallen short or what we have done that is good and build upon those things. I want to give us some practical suggestions this morning about maybe some improvements that we all need. Number one, the resolution that we may make is to gain a greater Bible knowledge. And by having a greater Bible knowledge, friends, that gives us a stronger faith. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. In Luke 17 and verse 5, we read, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Well, friends, if we're going to ask of God for a stronger faith, that's going to take some self-examination, that's going to take some time to study God's word, to dig deeper into it, to look into it so that we may grow our faith in the Lord. A greater Bible knowledge, friends, will also give us a better attitude, a better outlook. When we increase our Bible knowledge, friends, we learn of brotherly love. We're able to have a better attitude toward our brethren. We're able to build one another up. In John chapter 13, 34 and 35, we read, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How? If ye have love one to another. How do people know that we're Christians? Friends, it ought to be, one of the things ought to be, by the love that we show. They ought to be able to see that in us. In Hebrews 13, 1 through 3, we read, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, one translation says, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Let's love one another as we ought to. Build one another up. But friends, also in that, we ought to appreciate the accomplishments of others. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, we see that principle. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. But if it's not of those things, if it's not envious, if it's not vaunting itself, if it's not puffed up, but it suffers long and is kind, friends, we can appreciate the accomplishments of others. And in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26, we read, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. How happy are we for brethren when they accomplish something. When something good happens in their lives, how sad are we when tragedy befalls them? We ought to weep with one another as we rejoice as well with one another. So we ought to make a resolution to increase our Bible knowledge so that we can do these other things. One thing which we ought to do as well is pray more. Our second resolution may be to pray more. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, very simple verse. If you don't know it by heart, let's take the time right now, let's memorize it. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Now, Vines defines this as not of what is not uninterrupted or not interrupted. So friends, when Paul writes to the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing, he doesn't mean that they are to be in a state of prayer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's not what he's saying. The literal definition of this is of that which is constant. That is, that which is done on a constant basis. To pray without ceasing, friends, means that our prayer lives needs to be strong. It is to be constantly recurring. Our third resolution that we may make is to give more. Of course, when we talk about this, the first thing that comes to mind is money. Friends, as we talked about at one point last year, when we talk about giving of our means, we ought to think about this as many companies will give some employees, if not all of their employees, raises at some point to help with cost of living as they go up. But friends, as that happens, as we make more, we ought to remember that we ought to give more because we've been prospered with more. We read in 2 Corinthians 8 concerning giving. Paul writes there, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." He's calling them to attention of Macedonia. Now, I want you to keep in mind as we read through this, as we go through this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, how poor the churches of Macedonia were. And yet how liberally they gave. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, you and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And so much that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Friends, he was letting the Corinthians know, you are rich, whereas the Macedonians were poor. And yet the Macedonians gave above and beyond their means. They gave liberally. Friends, it may be that we may need to make a resolution to give a bit more of our means. We read as well in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." It may be that our resolution ought to be in how we give with a cheerful heart. As we talked about in a Bible class hour, purposed giving, as we read in 2 Corinthians 9 here, is planned giving. Planned giving is not getting to worship service on Sunday morning and remembering, oh, the plate's going to come around, so I'll pull out my wallet and see what I've got left at the end of the week. That's not planned giving. we ought to purpose what we give unto the Lord. My friends, one thing that we ought to think of, maybe of which I know we all run short of sometimes, is giving more of our time. Giving more of our time to the work of the Lord. Whether it be in the planning of doing some church work, whether it be in visiting others, whether it be in just riding a car or picking up a phone, we ought to give more of our time. We may think, well, I just don't have time. I don't have the time to devote to this. I don't have the time to do this. I've got time to sit down and read a newspaper. We've got time to sit down and watch our favorite television programs. We've got time to go fishing. We've got time to go hunting. We've got time to do this. We've got time to do that. Why do we have time for these things, friends? The simple answer is we want to. We ought to make a resolution to give more of that time to the Lord. Number four, we ought to make a resolution to attend every service. And for an example of that, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and I want you to read with me verse 42. I want you to notice here what the first century Christians, immediately after the day of Pentecost, what they were doing here. Peter had preached the sermon on Pentecost. 3,000 souls had obeyed. And those that continue to hear the gospel continue to obey. But I want you to notice here what these newfound Christians began to do. Acts 2 and verse 42, and they continued how? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Friends, what does that tell me of those first century Christians? They were constantly together. They were constantly together. Friends, I can't be in fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ if I'm not with them. I've got to be with them. Let's make a resolution to attend every service of which we're able. Understand that there's sickness. There are health problems. But friends, if we're able-bodied, and we're able to get there, we ought to be there. I know a man, or knew a man, he's since passed, Brother J.D. in Nesbitt, Mississippi. Actually, he and his wife sat right behind Ashley and myself. We got to see his wife over our Christmas vacation. But I remember Brother J.D. while I was going through the Memphis School of Preaching, and we were there at Nesbitt. I remember Brother J.D. had a stroke. And he had the stroke, I believe, on a Monday. Pretty bad one. Took him a while to be able to walk again. But friends, on Sunday, he had somebody carrying him into the building. It wasn't too long before he was able to walk again. He finally was able to do that. But friends, he had to have support. He was at every service until the day that he died. Wasn't going to miss. Why can't we have a resolve like that? Maybe we need to make a resolution, number five, about our visiting. Visiting with one another. Let's be actively involved in 2012 in visiting others. Whether it's the sick, as we read in James 1 and verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We need to visit the sick. There's no doubt about that. We need to call upon them, see what we can do for them. Friends, we need to visit wayward members. Hebrews 10 and verse 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That includes our wayward members to go and to call upon and to visit with them, to do what we can to win them back to the Lord. James 5, 19 and 20 James writes, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Friends, we ought to be doing all that we can to bring back the wayward member. Let's make a resolution to speak more about the Word of God. Again, we're familiar with the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where Jesus tells His disciples to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, we read, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Friends, are we committing the gospel of Jesus Christ to others? Are we teaching others about the gospel? Let's make this simple. We have somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 folks here this morning, most of us Christians. How much numerically could Ninth and Main grow if each person made a resolution to convert one person this year? One person. Sit down and study with them. Teach them the gospel. Convert one person. Pray for them. Give them material. Invite them to services. Let's make a resolution to convert one person this year. Let's make a resolution as well, finally, to put on the Christian graces of which we read in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 13, when we read about love. In Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 25, we read, "But the fruit of the Spirit," what do we read there? "Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Let's turn together to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Begin reading with me when you get there, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Friends, let's add these things to our lives if we don't have them already. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our psalm books. Ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, as we look at this new year, 2012, let us each resolve to do better this year than last in our service for the King. And let's resolve to truly put Christ first in our lives. Elders and I, over the past couple of months, have been working upon our plan of work for 2012. And the theme for this coming year is to seek ye first. And that comes from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Friends, if we're going to resolve to do better this year in our service for the King and to truly put Christ first in our lives, that's a verse that needs to be on the forefront of our minds. Jesus says there, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Friends, are you here this morning seeking the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Jesus established that kingdom when He died upon the cross and raised again the third day from the grave. The kingdom can be found in the gospel that you hold in your hand this morning. Would you obey the gospel? Would you be translated into His kingdom as we studied this morning in Bible class? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? That He came to this earth and He bled and died for your sins? Would you repent of those sins? Would you confess Him before men? Would you make that confession unto salvation and be baptized, immersed in water, to contact that blood that can cleanse us from our sins? Would you do those things this morning? Friend, are you here having done those things? Have you fallen away? Would you come home? Would you resolve, as we'll sing in just a moment, no longer to linger, but come home? Would you come now while we stand and while we sing?